Someone told me today that I was what, preaching, or I was all so. I think he was saying you need to save your energy and let somebody else do it, right? And you all show me tonight that I don't have to. Is my mic on? That I don't have to. And I am, yes, okay. So tonight we ask God's blessing upon us, and we want to thank God for the Word of God. We're going through Daniel. I want you to listen to me, the book of Daniel, but we're not just going through only by the historical facts of Daniel. We're like spending a lot of time on the king of Babylon, the king of the Medes and the Persia, Greece with Alexander the Great, the notable horn. You know, he was that notable horn, the first king of Greece. And this young man that died at about 33 years, and he had no more world to conquer, then he lay down and cried. And then the Romans came in after, right? And during the time of the Romans, Jesus Christ was born. Amazing. Awesome, isn't it? A virgin bring forth a son. Help me in Isaiah the 9th chapter, if you can help me. In the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, a virgin was with child, and Isaiah 9. Okay, put that up there. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be. Go back. All right, go back to verse 5. Go to verse 5. Let me. For every battle, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Verse 6 says, for unto us, look at it. Let's all read. For unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given. Child born by the virgin, but a son given by God. Jesus had an earthly mother, but a heavenly father. He had no earthly father. Joseph was only the adopted stepfather of Jesus Christ. The father committed his son, to the care of Joseph. So Joseph did a good job. And the government, notice, on a line that the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government is the kingdom that's ahead of us. This kingdom that is to be established upon the earth. That little stone, that's the government of God. And it shall be upon his shoulder, means that's his responsibility to establish the kingdom. Not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. That means God will be the one. Remember, the God of heaven, the great God of heaven. Or we emphasized this morning about it. The great God of heaven would establish this this kingdom. Now, I like this. And the government, are you listening? The establishment, the government, the millennium kingdom would be upon his shoulder. Okay? And his name. Don't you glad? Aren't you glad that he has a name? That when you pray, we know who to pray to. We have a God. We have a Savior. And his name shall be called. Come on. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And notice, you know, there's a lot of governments today. All of those government, the reason why they went out of existence, the kingdoms before, they became bankrupt. They the moral standard and everything, drunkenness moving, lawlessness, and excuse me, other nations overturned them. But this one, it gets stronger. Can you imagine? The government, the economy of the kingdom, the increase of the kingdom, of the increase. The stock market will never go down. I mean, you know, come on, you see what we're heading into? A wonderful world of the increase of his government and peace and peace. You can have a increase in government. You can have better jobs, better wages, but there's no peace. There's war. There's strife. Do you understand? There's turmoil every day you get on. So what is increase? What is riches without peace? Are you listening? What is riches without peace? What is money if you're in fear? You're afraid to go out on the street. Now, but after the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I wish you'd shout right there. There shall be no end. That means it doesn't, all of the other kingdoms were in the reverse because they started out at the top, but it went in poverty, went in the reverse. But his kingdom started out as a little stone at the bottom, at the feet. And it became richer and richer. And there was time of turmoil. You hold your finger right there and go to Psalms chapter 2. We'll come right back here. And I showed you of the his government, there was peace, the increase. See the word increase? We know what increase means. There is peace. Psalms tells us that why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Why? There's no peace, said the Lord, for the wicked. So there was no peace. But now we are in a righteous state. When the kingdom of God is established, it's established in righteousness. You can go back there. It's established in righteousness in Daniel. Where was I? Isaiah, me. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 6. No, 9 verse 7 now. Go there quick. The increase of his government and shall be no hand upon here's where he's going to rule from. Upon the throne of David. You remember this covenant that God made to David to give him a son in 2 Samuel chapter, was it 7? You can write that down and read that. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I think it is. And also in, was it Chronicles? We'll get to that. But 2 Samuel chapter 7, that's your assignment right there. But upon his kingdom, see, David will sit upon the throne. I mean, Christ will sit upon the throne of his father David. Upon his throne to order it. To govern it. And if you look at hold your fingers and go to Luke chapter, is it 1? Verse 32. I want you to look at that quickly and give it to me. Somebody read it for me. Luke chapter 1 and verse Luke chapter 1. Read that for me clearly. And he shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And notice, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne. Everybody say the throne. The same throne that we read before. The throne of his father David. It's the same throne that we read in Isaiah chapter 6. See, the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. So Jesus Christ is right now the rightful heir of the throne. He's the one. And he had the rights to it because of his mother Mary that sprung from Judah. Okay? Mary sprung out of Judah, and she was in line, and this put Jesus Christ, according to the genealogies of, I think, was it Matthew? And there's also one in the genealogies, Mary's genealogies, in Luke. So you can check that out. We could check that out maybe tomorrow night. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign, notice, there is a kingdom establishment, the kingdom that we are reading in Daniel 2, verse 44. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob means the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes now joined. They are now restored and become one stick. Remember, they were broken, beauty and bands, but now they're to be joined in one. Okay. He will reign over the house of Jacob for how long? Forever. Remember, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And he shall reign forever and ever. But here's the beautiful part. We will also reign with him. You're going to reign with him, Aaron. You're going to reign with him forever and ever. And remember now, we're just touching that of the increase of his government and peace. Ah, Lord. There shall be no end. And of his kingdom. Remember now, all of the other kingdoms came to an end. The gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and iron mingled with clay. All of that came out to an end and was driven away like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. But his kingdom remained forever and ever. And the kingdom that we're talking about is the kingdom church that began on the day of Pentecost. And this includes Jews and Gentiles. With him, there is no respect of person. There's no Jews nor Gentiles. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us. And now we are one in Christ, if any man be in Christ. He's a new creature. It's a kingdom of new creatures, new creation. As Sister Joni was saying this morning, that it's people that are made new. Okay, we're born again. And we, I think it was Brother Andre said, living stones. We were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. It's a holy nation that he will make establish his kingdom in righteousness. It's a righteous kingdom. That's why you're here. He's molding you into righteousness, uprightness. He is changing you. You're not the same. But we came to God in sin. We came to God in the fallen state of Adam. But he lifted us up out of the mire and the clay. And he set our feet upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom. Remember all these. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? How is he going to establish the kingdom? How is he going to bring it to pass? How is he going to complete that work in your life? You know the work that he began? You can't do it. You can't do it. I mean, he wants to turn you and make you into a son of God. But you can't do that yourself. None of us can do that by ourselves. Huh? And then she went on. She said, seeing I know not a man. Then verse 35. Pay attention. Then 35 says, And the angel answered and said unto her, somebody shout, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. You remember that Holy Ghost that came at Pentecost? When the church was born at Pentecost? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. The Holy Ghost. Ah, hallelujah. Shall come upon thee. Have you ever felt the Holy Ghost coming upon you? Did you feel him tonight? Overshadowing you? You feel that light? What do you think is going on in you? That's the creation of the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ, a new man. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Sometimes you sit there in the morning, good time, and you get up and you just relax. Don't be worrying about your bills and your problems now. But you're thinking about the Lord. And you feel that presence of God and you know he's there. Have you ever felt that? Try that tomorrow morning. Try that tomorrow morning. You get up and give yourself a few minutes and you just meditate. But don't get up grumpy and mean and let the Holy Ghost touch you. The Holy Ghost will overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called. Do we still call him the Son of God? Shall be called 2,000 years after. Are we still calling him the Son of God? Did you call him the Son of God? Oh, Jesus, thou Son of God. Hallelujah. And behold, then goes on, yes. Tell you about Elizabeth. She also conceived in her old age. And this was the 6 months with her that were called barren. But the point I wanted to show you was that Jesus Christ will inherit the throne of his father David. All right. He will inherit the throne of his father David for 1,000 years. I want to get that straight. It's called the millennium kingdom. The millennium reign. 1,000 years reign of Jesus Christ. Where? Upon this earth from Mount Zion. He will reign upon the throne of his father David. And he will bring to pass the covenant that God made first to Abraham. The covenant to give him a land. Then he made a covenant to David to give him a kingdom, a throne. But this was to be an everlasting throne. And it lasts for 1,000 years. But during this 1,000 years, he's getting right and setting everything in order, because at the end of the 1,000 years, Revelations chapter 20, we are going into what you call it, the everlasting kingdom of God. That means when that kingdom is established in Revelations 20, it will never come to an end. The 1,000 years kingdom is to get us ready, just like of the church. See, the church is getting us ready. It's the vehicle that's taking us to the kingdom. It's getting us ready for that millennium kingdom, the second advent. When Jesus returns, Lord, will you at this time restore unto Israel the kingdom? Not yet. Not yet. Jesus said, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's the power we were talking about. The Holy Ghost would come upon you. And the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. And there began a kingdom. But it was a kingdom called the church. Upon this rock will I build my church and the gates. Somebody shout, the gates of hell. The gates of hell is all of the government from the golden coming on down to the silver, brass, iron and clay and so on. Could not prevail. And they have not prevailed. Despite, if you read history, all the persecution the martyrdom, the suffering. You read Hebrews 11 that tells us that, that they wandered in dens and caves and they were thrown in the fire and eaten by beasts. And the world was not worthy of them. And they without us cannot be complete. And they're waiting for us. Amen. They sought for a city which had foundation. And they found it. And we're also looking for a city. And we're heading to that city. And that city is Mount Zion. Amen. That's God's city, where Jesus Christ is the mediator, and God is the judge of all things. And that's where the Spirit of justified men, just men are made perfect. Not just men alone, women too, just men. Those are justified men and women, no male, no female. One. Amen? So you'll be there too. Your spirit is made perfect. You say, well, how do I get this? Just stay in the church. Just stay in the church. You serve God in the church because upon this rock I build my church. He tells you, and the gates of hell, I just showed you some of those gates of hell, cannot prevail against it as long as you're in the church. You're covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's it. We have the keys to the kingdom. He said, behold, I will give you the keys. So here you are in the church. Are you following me? You're in the church, but you still need the keys to unlock to get into the kingdom. Another part of God's work, not a phase. So we've got the keys. What are the keys? There's a whole bunch of keys in my ring. I got 66 keys. And every night, every time you come here, we use one to unlock one of those doors. And you see a light. That's your mind. Your mind that has been closed. And the word of God began to be written in your mind. Follow? And you love God. You feel love springing up in your heart. One time you were darkness. You who were sometimes darkness, you're dark. Darkness was upon the face of the deep until the Holy Ghost began to move. Until God said, let there be light. Otherwise, your world is dark. You don't understand a thing. It's void. It's decay. It's ruin. But God. Somebody help me. But God. Who is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherein he loved us. Even when we were D-E-A-D, dead. Does that spell dead? In Jamaica, we would say, yeah, man, you're dead. You're dead. But this was a spiritual death. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Right? But what did he do? What did he quicken you from? And when did he? Is it coming or did he already do it? And he quickened you from what? From dead works. The old Adamic nature. And when he quickened you, he translates you. I wish I had some people here. He translated you from the kingdom of darkness to satanic kingdom, from satanic kingdom into the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of his marvelous light. Where he lives. Remember now. Enoch walked with God. And he was not. God took him. What's going on here tonight? What's going on in your life tonight? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. And that's what happened to you. He translates you from the power of darkness. He took you. He bought you. He purchased you. With his blood, he took you out of darkness. He translates you from darkness into light. And you who were sometimes darkness, but now because you've been taken. Oh, Lord. You don't get it. You've been taken. You've been taken from darkness. Deliver you from demons, devil, from under the kingdom of the devil. Ooh. Into the kingdom of his son. And now, hallelujah, now you're not your home. You're not your home. You were bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Translate it. Translate it from darkness to light. And that's what he sent Paul to do in, if you will go to Acts, the 26th chapter quickly, somewhere around the 18th verse. Will you help me? When Paul was sent to the, you find that? Go start at verse 15. Let's get there. Acts, the 26th chapter of Acts. Look at this. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He's giving his experience of salvation, how he met the Lord, how the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. Let's read. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. What a shock. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise. He was on the ground, see? And stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. He didn't ask him. Somebody said, well, God didn't ask me. He doesn't have to ask you. He tells you. For this purpose I have appeared unto thee, for to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. There's more coming. Delivering thee from alcohol. What am I? How did I get there? From the world, from the parties, from all that kind of stuff, you know. Delivering thee from the people and from, notice, the Gentiles. And to whom now I deliver you so I can send you on a mission to them. So do you see where it began? Well, Peter had an experience with Cornelius. You know that. But really where God began to reach out further beyond the borders of Jerusalem or Samaria, he's going to go all around the world. From the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Hallelujah. Why are you here tonight? Oh, I just go to church. Oh, I'm just here in church. No, you're here for a purpose. And it's important to know that you have to be led by God to a church, because you got to get your eyes open. Somebody say, I got my eyes open. I'm not talking about these two. I'm talking about the eyes of your mind, the eyes of your understanding, where it's dark. It's so dark you can't even see. You don't even know you're blind until the light shining to let's get it right, to open their heart. Why am I here laboring tonight? So you see more. So some of the darkness that you came in, some will be gone. The light will go deeper tonight. So by the time it's over, you could say, thank God, wherein once I was blind, but now I can see. Paul was sent to the Gentiles to open the eyes of their understanding, the eyes to their mind. And how do you get that done? By writing the word of God in their mind. While I'm preaching, God taking the word and writing it in your mind by the power of the Holy Ghost. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness on. So there's two things, darkness and light. But in the beginning, God said, when the earth was without form and void. Notice, and God saw the dark, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, when God spoke, the Spirit of God moved. Have you ever read that? Upon the face of the deep, deep darkness. You have deep, deep darkness. The psalmist says, that ditch, the mire and the clay where God dug us out of. We were sunk deep in the first Adam. That's the ditch. Are you listening? That's the ditch. When God came, there was nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that has never been healed or modified by hype men. God began to pour in the oil and the wine. So he took Paul and sent him far ends among the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from satanic darkness. Remember, we had that in Daniel chapter 10, that darkness. To light, that's the light of the world, which is Jesus. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light. Huh. I'm the light. And when God said, let there be light in your spirit, he's saying, let Jesus come in. The light. Jesus in your heart. The entrance of thy word giveth light. When God said, let there be light in your soul, the Holy Ghost has got to blast through the darkness of your mind. And then you need a minister to keep drilling and to keep that opening clear, so the darkness will not penetrate you. That's why he's asking you, where were you? Why didn't you come to church? You know why? Because we don't want the devil to turn off the lights. You know, if you ever get lights out, the electric company turn off your light. You go home tonight, you stumble over everything in the way. But when you pay your bills, you have light. And tonight I'm looking at some people that have just paid their bills today. I can see the light in your face. Hey, I can see you smiling. Remember? One time you couldn't smile because the bill wasn't paid. All right. And from the power, I like this. Look, I like this. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whew. You see what you're going to get? Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. It was a heavenly vision. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should, hello, look at this, follow me. One, repent and turn to God. You see the steps I'm showing you. Somebody come to you and said, just bow your head and say the sinner's prayer, and that's all. I'm showing you the steps. I'm showing you all you need, a teacher, a pastor, a minister to guide you. One, not just to an altar, and that's it. But you repent. You repent and it takes a lot of teaching, brother. When your little ship was heading in darkness, and to get in there and begin to turn it around from darkness to light. And a lot of you don't want to go to the light because men love darkness. If that pastor thinks he's going to tell me what to do, you little dark ship, come on, let me turn you. He talk about paying your tithe. He doesn't know how I have my bill. You little rebellious ship. Come on, let me turn you. Well, I would like to, but I got more important. And you know, this Christmas holiday, I've got my kid. I got every great grandkids. Come on. What about your great grand church? All right. Are you following me now? You having fun? Now, I'm trying to get the word of God in your heart. So you'll be loaded over this Christmas. I get the word in first, then turkey after. All right, let's get back. So, to turn them, where? And then, to the Gentiles, that they should repent. Follow? That they should repent and turn to God. Right? Repent. Yeah, but now you need someone to turn you to God. You need, that means you need someone to drive and take a hold of the steering wheel of your life. You need somebody to control that. A pastor. Otherwise you'll be shipwrecked. And do works. Look at that. And do works. Meet, the word meet, right for repentance. But I thought I repented up there. But now you got to do works meet for repentance. For these cause, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Why? All I was doing was turning the Gentiles. You see, all Paul was doing is taking some Gentiles out of the kingdoms of darkness and put them in the kingdom of light. What a work. Nobody understood that. But Paul, that's what Paul said. He said, I'm not concerned about this world. I'm not concerned. All I'm concerned about is God sent me, say he has some Gentiles. See, God is starting his kingdom, the fifth kingdom. That little stone that Daniel talked about is starting. So it's going to be Jews and Gentiles. So he's sending me far among the Gentiles to gather out of it. And when Paul went into one city, God told him, don't be afraid because I have much people. I have much kingdom material in this city. My wife and I guess you were talking. She said, remember, I could be anywhere beside here. Can you imagine? But why am I here? Because he's got some people in this city. Or somewhere. Aren't you sitting out there? And there's others coming. And you begin to tell and witness, you'll find out. Aren't you seeing out there? Much people. And the devil knock it hard, but he can't come in. He can't overturn it. Because we're built upon a rock. Why do you think I'm here talking and patiently and explaining the word of God to you? So light begin to shine. And you're going to make haste and get out of those kingdoms that are going to be overturned and get into the kingdom that will be established forever. And you support it and you stand by and say, my God, I'm going to support this church like I never do. I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to bless the church, pray for the church. I'm going to be different because I realize that I'm a part of this kingdom and I'm fighting a battle, a different battle. Hey, do you see that? Why do you think you have all those troubles and problems in your life? It's to keep you from being a good soldier. It's a distraction. But let none of these things move you. Come on. What am I saying right? Having therefore obtained help of God. That's what you need. That's why you're here tonight. Otherwise the devil would like to knock you out. But you've obtained help. Remember how you were sick? But look at you now. And all kind of pain and the devil strike you hard and pain and everything rock your body to tell you. What's the first thing come in your mind on Saturday night when you're in pain? Don't go to church on Sunday. Eh? Isn't that what he's saying to you? You can't go to church on Sunday. You're too sick. You're too pained up. And you need to counter that. Tell the devil he's a liar. Say, not only am I going to go to church, but I'm going to be hurly. That's what the Bible said. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Said, having therefore obtained help of God. That's what I need. I continued until this day. When we started this church, if God didn't help us, we wouldn't even be here. The devil said, you're not going to pay the bill. You're not going to be that. But here we are. Huh? I continue unto this day witnessing both to small, even the young kids, small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses, no, I don't like that, the prophets and Moses, they say should come. So you've got to get to the prophets. That's why we go to Daniel. Do you see how it brings our life? Church alive. That's why we go to Jeremiah and Isaiah and these prophets. Notice what it says. Go back to that scripture and says, go back to that scripture there. Yes, okay. That one. 24, is it? 22. Okay, yes. All right, that's it. Look at it. Let's get that part. Okay, witnessing to both, to small and great. But notice the part saying none other things. What do I tell you when you get on your feet? Stay in the Bible. Don't say any other thing. Don't talk about your bean dream, what you had, and your bologna sandwich dream, and all of that stuff. Come on. And who likes you and who don't like you, and you saw this one go through that door, and then you thought they're going to come out that door, they went through the back door. Stop that. Oh, stop that, please. Saying none other things. Hello. Saying none other things but those which Moses, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Micah, Ezekiel, Joel, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Lamentation, Malachi, da da da. You understand? Say, can you stick to it? When you get on the cell phone, can you stick to the prophet and Moses? Are you gonna gossip? Did you? Yes, there. Hold on. And you're trying to all talk. And you see who's the fastest one? Did you see what she was wearing today? That's not Moses. That's not the prophet. Saying not other things, but those, read it. Look at it. Can everybody look at me? saying none other things. None other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. Can we stick to that tonight? When you get on your feet, only what Moses and the prophet say should come to pass. What a church that would be. I said, what a church that would be. Because in the first place, we would stop backbiting, gossiping, long tongue, short tongue, no tongue. I mean, you'd never stop with all of that stuff. Saying none other things. Out of your mouth proceed the word of God. And you become not a yea, yea, and a nay, nay, but you become a yea or a nay. Hallelujah. Next verse. That Christ. Here's what Moses and the prophet said. What do they say? That Christ, help me. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should, hallelujah, rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And he's the first to rise from the dead, and then after we followed him. Amen. And a lot I could say. He rose from the dead. You see, when Christ rose from the dead as the first fruits from them that slept, and what he did, he began a new nation. And that new nation is not in the grave. He began a new nation, a holy people, a royal priesthood. And they're not all laid aside in a box in the grave, waiting. Amen. He became the first fruit. Can you imagine you have an apple tree or a tomato tree? And there's a bunch of fruits in it, right? And one ripe. And it took 2,000 years for the others to ripe. But everybody knows that the first are first fruits. You get out there, the farmer knows, and the first ripe tomato comes in, and rightly shortly after that, a few days, the others are coming, and more and more and more. Amen. Until the crop is over, that's the end of the harvest. Amen. First fruit, and then afterwards, the rest of the first fruit. And then from this he prepared a kingdom, because that's a new generation. If you're focusing and said it's the same generation, here we are, in the same kingdom over here, you're going to miss it. But no, you see, you're translated already. Amen. Amen. You turned from Satan, the work is done, to Christ, the light. And now you're children of light. Amen. And he said about the light. Let your light so shine, and you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden in the grave.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Let me close now. Are you enjoying it? Well, I like church. Don't. I just like to come to church. The first of the first fruits. That means there are many first fruits of them that slept. And God woke him up, brought him out. My Jesus, look at my kerchief coming out, responding to me. Even my handkerchief, baby, my handkerchief get excited. Woo! What a church. Now, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad. I never heard these things. Much learning. Do it make thee mad? I haven't reached this stage yet. Much learning. I'm going to have to see some of you guys to give me a little more that's missing. But they say it make you mad. Well, that's a good way to be mad. I'd like to learn about God. All right. And did I finish Isaiah the 6th day? Okay, let me get there quick and close. Isaiah 9. Come on. Isaiah 9. We are touched this of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Zeal of the Lord. How? The zeal of the Lord. How is it going to be done? The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. That means going to establish this. And what's the next verse? The Lord sent a word in Jacob. What's the word? That's Christ. And it had lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of their heart, the bricks are, that's just bragging. You know, they're bragging right there. Okay, let me go on. Let me get out of this bragging state right there. And there's another scripture in chapter 11 of Isaiah that speaks about the government shall be, I think it is, upon his shoulder. Let me close with that one. Oh, I feel good this weekend. God is so good to us. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. One, Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You need all these. And shall make him up. You need all these. Quick understanding. Quick understanding. You said, oh, am I going to get it? I said, but I don't think I can. I don't see. Just keep coming to church. Don't miss so much church. Keep coming, get your Bible up. What do you think is going to happen to you tonight? What have you been learning? We've covered a lot today. Okay? And make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But notice this, that's a kingdom established with righteousness. Shall he judge the poor and reprove with meek with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle. Notice. What? The girdle. That's why you're getting your mind girded with truth. Shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. That's the kingdom. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. It's giving you the order of the kingdom, the millennium kingdom. You see that? Somebody said, oh, you know there's going to be a millennium. But I know when the wolf and the lamb can fellowship. And the cow and the bear shall feed. You see, I was just watching Planet Earth. I love that channel. Because I love nature. And I noticed, and I feel so sorry when I see the wolf chasing that little mountain deer or whatever. I don't want the wolf to catch the deer. I know he has to eat, but I want him to be able to eat grass. And the bear not eating the cow, but eating grass. So when you begin to see that, then you know it's the kingdom. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion. Whenever you see the lion eating straw, like the bullock. Otherwise, you stay on this side of the fence. The lead straw like the bullock. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the heart. So don't you do that now. Take your little baby and say, oh, the Bible said, no, that's not what it says. And the weaned child shall put his hand, listen, on the cockatrice's den, but not yet. The kingdom is not yet. I mean, that phase of the kingdom. We're in the church phase. They shall not hurt. I'll wait for this one. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Mountain is kingdom. Why? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water cover the sea. And when you see this, okay? When you see men and women covered with knowledge like the water cover the sea, then you can take your little child and let it play with the lion or whatever. But wait. Because the nature of these animals, the kingdom will change it. Now we are getting our natures changed. That's why you're here, a new nature. So we won't bark and bite, devour. We'll lose that nature. Where the preacher and the elders and the deacon can sit down and don't devour each other. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall who? The Gentiles see and hear now. You see, we're coming into this. We're coming into this. The kingdom is being formed. That kingdom is being formed. The fifth kingdom, the stone. And his rest, that's the eternal rest. The kingdom rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover. He did it before, but they would not respond at the first advent. Now the second time is his second coming to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from, notice, Assyria and Egypt and Patros. Remember, we had those now, but here's those two kingdoms that were gone, Egypt and Assyria. Then Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Amoth, and from the island of the sea, Jamaica. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Do you see what the kingdom is going to be, the 1,000 years? And the envy also of Ephraim shall depart. That means, you know, Ephraim, and that's Israel and Judah. They have a envy right now for thousands of years. From little after Solomon's reign until now. The envy is there. And the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah. I just said it. And Judah shall not vex Ephraim. I just said it. And husband and wife will get along, and kids and mother and father will get along. Amen? And what else did I miss? Wife and husband. I say husband and wife, so wife and husband. And in-laws and outlaws, and no laws. All right? And they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistine towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. Wow, what a time. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hands over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams. And make them go over on dry shod. He's going to dry up the seven streams. So all these seven heads and ten horns and all that are going to be dried up. Okay? going to smite them. That's the coming kingdom going to do that. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria. I'm just going over this because this is awesome. You keep coming to Bible and church again. See, there's going to be an highway when Christ returns from Assyria. Help me. Like as it was to Israel in the days that they came up out of the land of Egypt. Remember how he made an highway through the sea? Well, he's going to make an highway from Assyria. Amen. All the way up. So Egypt and Assyria, Israel, those three in Isaiah tells you that they will be one. Yes. In our best friends. Amen. All right, I give you a lot. Amen. Amen. I think I give you a whole lot tonight.